course. You'll see from your service sheets that Daniel is going to be speaking to us from 1 Corinthians. So please take the Bibles under the chairs in front of you and turn to page 1144. That's page 1144. And I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. This is a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, is Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus given to us for our salvation so that we can have a new identity in him. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross, for his death and his resurrection, for his victory over our sinful nature. Help us, Lord, to focus on the cross, on the work of your Son, Jesus. Help us to remain faithful to your calling and to be involved in what you are already doing in the rest of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God has his sense of humor. During this World Focus Sunday, he is sending to you somebody who is struggling in English. And thank you for being kind, listening to my English, very broken English, spoken in a French African accent. You are very kind. And this actually reminds me the grace of God. This echoes what Apostle Paul has written here in this passage. God is really doing his work, not through our philosophical systems, not through our rhetorics, but only through the power of the cross. And I wanted to share with us today some stories about the power of the cross in the world in order to encourage us, to inspire us, to challenge us, and to really push us to get involved in God's business who is focusing on preaching the cross to the rest of the world. It's challenging because when we look in the past, some big ideas are going on. people are suggesting that this time is going to be the end of religion, the end of Christian faith. Remember where the first attempt by the scientists to reach the moon in 1979, when this first attempt by the former Soviet Union Luna 2 crashed on the moon, and then when 3 years after, Armstrong and his colleague from America for the first time put their foot on the moon, some people suggested that this is going to be the end of religion. God is dead, because the human being, through their knowledge, through the technology, were able to reach the moon. And they went there, they haven't seen God. Therefore, God is dead. The same thing, the same idea were shared by Nietzsche, who declared that God is dead. And today also, here in Oxford, Richard Dawkins and his colleagues are sharing similar idea. God doesn't exist. Religion is illusion. And people think that religion will end. But what do we see today in the world? What do you see around you? Religion is not only intact. Religion is growing. Religion is well. Religion is alive. Religion is growing everywhere. In the West, in the North, in the South, in the Western world, as well in the majority world. Of course, being open to religion doesn't mean being open to Jesus. But when we look at Christianity, we can see also and realize that Christianity is growing as well, everywhere. The Christian population is growing. From the continent where I come from, at the beginning of the last century, only around 300,000 believers. But now, you have millions and millions who are going to churches every Sunday. In Latin America, in Asia, Christianity is growing, including evangelicals. The growth of the evangelical population is real. You can see it everywhere. So what happened to those who claim that God is there? What happened to communists who try to deny God? What happened to those ideologies? The Christian faith is still alive. In the world today, there are around only 14 countries with a Christian population of less than 1%, and a further 23 countries with a Christian population of 23%. It's huge. There is no single country, according to some statistics, where there is no small, indigenous, resident, Christian community who are worshipping. No single country in the world. Of course, in some of the countries, they have to be secretive. But there are everywhere, including places like Afghanistan, like Libya, there are secretive believers there. Why? Because of the power of the cross. because no one can stop the gospel. It's not about our human wisdom. It's not about our intellectual ability, capacity. It's about God's love. And nothing can destroy God's love. And there will be always people to say yes to God's love. You cannot kill, you cannot put God to death. You cannot stop God's love. And Apostle Paul is helping us to think through those issues. Why am I sharing these things today? Because sometimes as a church, we can feel isolated. We can have a very short view. We can live in a kind of a ghetto. We can think that the world is limited to ourselves, to our own struggles, to our own challenges here. I'm sharing this to remind us that we are part of a universal plan of God, and God's family is not limited to this church. It's not limited to your family. It's not limited to you. It's not limited to Oxford. It's not limited to UK. We are part of a wider picture. And we need to look at that wider picture to encourage ourselves, to feel that we are not isolated, and to realize that God is truly at war, to realize that the power of the cross is still active. And God is at work in your life, in my life, in other people's life, in many countries in the world. And we need to celebrate it. The first way to get involved in mission is to start by celebrating what God is doing in the world. We need to celebrate what is going on in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, in America, in Australia, everywhere, because we are part of the same family. The people of God need to have a global vision. Actually, globalization started with us in Jesus. We are global. From creation, after the call of Abram, God called Abram to be the father of all nations, and we are part of that wider family. And I feel proud to belong to such family. I feel proud to have you as my brothers and sisters, to have Chinese as my brothers and sisters. In heaven, we will have this fellowship together. From China, from Papua New Guinea, from Tonga, everywhere, we will be celebrating God's love together as the same family. And this is something beautiful. This is something amazing. This is something wonderful, and we need to celebrate mainly when we have an opportunity like this Sunday, to have a special focus on the world. Of course, the growth of the church in the world comes with some challenges. We would like to see the impact of the Christian population growing. We would like to see the impact on ethical and moral values. We would like to see less corruption. But we should know that at least we have the starting point. We should help each other in our different places. We should pray for each other so that the people who are saved by the power of the cross can stand and continue to grow as disciples. And we can get involved, not only in preaching the gospel, but in teaching. We need to teach. We need to encourage. We need to pray for those people who are living in a corrupted society, who are living in the midst of huge challenges, so that the Spirit of God can help them to stand. The Spirit of God can help them to be faithful. We are part of the same community. We should share our struggles. We should share our joy. Coming from a non-Western world, I give thanks to the Western missionaries who moved to my place, to my country, through difficult circumstances, sometimes sacrificing their lives, their families, to bring the gospel to us. And as I share, I am personally the fruit of such sacrificial involvement in mission. And we should continue to get involved. We should continue to get involved, to go, to give, to pray, because the task is out there, and we are called to contribute to that task. When I was a child, my parents shared with me how the gospel came to my people. A small American mission in the year 1920s has a call to come to Chad and share the good news of Jesus with us. And they traveled several weeks, several months by boat at that time. And they came to my people without speaking my language, without speaking Munda. And they spent 7 to 8 years before seeing the first convert. I don't think I can survive like that. I will give up. But they remain faithful. Despite the resistance of my people, who were hostile to the gospel. And then after 7, 8 years, they saw the first believer. And my father was a part of that generation of the first believers in my ethnic group. And 3 years ago, I visited that mission in the United States. It was a fascinating testimony. Today, there are more believers in Chad, in my ethnic group, among Mundang people, than the believers in the whole denomination in the United States who brought the gospel to us. This is how God works. It's amazing. And this way of working can be seen as foolish for those who don't have God's wisdom, because they don't understand. And I don't understand how that could be possible, how suddenly the Mundang people, who are rooted strongly in the African traditional religion, were able to give their lives to Christ. Now in thousands and thousands. I don't understand. Paul is telling us it's only by the power of the cross. And we need to preach the power of the cross. Paul knew that in his context, the people were waiting for sophisticated arguments, for a good articulation of arguments, for a philosophical system. But Paul is telling them, I am not taking that way. I am preaching the cross and the cross only. I don't want your philosophical argument to deviate me from the core business I am called to do, preaching the cross of Jesus. Only the cross of Jesus is the solution for our world, for the pagan world. And Paul was correcting their view in that sense. It's the same situation we are facing today. The tendency is to focus on arguments, intellectual arguments, but we need to focus on the cross, on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul is not suggesting that we should stop arguing. We should stop doing intellectual exercise. Living in a city like Oxford, you can easily understand how important apologetic is. The church needs to engage in apologetic. When I was living in Africa, I used from time to time to do some public debates with the intellectuals, with sometimes university professors. There is a place to exercise our reason. Paul is suggesting that his point is, at the end of the day, what matters is only the wisdom of God. Only the wisdom of God can help transform. And we need to be encouraged. And we need to see that this is an opportunity for us to get involved. We can be intellectual or not, but because of that, we can get involved. Actually, the gospel spread over the history through the ordinary people, not necessarily through the big names, through people like us with few knowledge. This is why the gospel is spreading among the poorest of the poor, in Africa, where there is violence, corruption, political violence, HIV/AIDS, in Asia. The gospel is growing in those places. The gospel is spreading through ordinary people like us, so we can get involved. We need to open our eyes. We need to see what God is doing and to be part of what God is already doing. And this is a source of encouragement for each of us, not to feel small. God can use us where we are to achieve His purpose. I want to share one or two stories with you before I close to illustrate how God is still at work in the world today. That can inspire us. That can be a source of encouragement to us. That can be a source of challenge to pray for our brothers and sisters who are living in difficult countries. Let me start by sharing a message I received from a student movement in one place in the world. They wrote this to me. The email was this: the persecution is still there, and they are taking in brethren here and here from time to time. Recently, they released a few who have been in jail from 9 months to 7 years, although they don't know on what premises. Of course, the majority of people are still in jail, and some have died. Our movement is operating on this ground. The good news is that we haven't stopped working. We are taking God's guidance on how and when and where to run training events for student leaders. On the other hand, recently, some information has leaked out from insiders that they were there will be another round of arrest very soon. So please pray for us. Young students in their early 20s put in jail because of their faith by the authorities, by the government. But this is not stopping them. Why? Because of the power of the cross in the heart. Because they gave their life to Christ. They understand the meaning of the real life in Christ. And they are not ready to give up. Some of them have been in jail for 7 years. Some of them died in jail. Actually, even last year, one brother from that country died few months after coming out from jail. But I can tell you that students in that country are still giving their life to Jesus. And the number of the students who are becoming believers from their background is growing. It's unbelievable. This is how God works. And this should inspire us to have our eyes open and to pray for those places. We have many places in the world like that where believers are in trouble. We need to be part of their suffering. We need to pray for them. We need to sustain them. Sometime I attended a meeting in Egypt, in Alexandria. I met with 180 students from the Muslim background, from Syria, Iraq, Morocco, Tunisia, all those countries. And I remember speaking to this bishop, who is an American bishop from a Palestinian background. He couldn't imagine such a number of Christian students, leaders, coming from those countries to betray. It was something new to him. And I met him last September again in the United States. And he's still talking to that event as a unique thing in his life, who completely changed his life to see God working in those places in an amazing way. It's really amazing. And few months after that meeting, we receive a testimony from a group of students in one of those countries. They met together as young believers to celebrate Christmas for the first time. They negotiated with a school in a village. I think the teacher of the school is a believer. They wanted a secret place because if the population knew they are going to worship, they will be in trouble. They met in the room. They started praying. And I don't know why the population knew there are young believers in that school. And they started to go and stone, crying, calling the whole village. And for those young believers, if you were in their place, what are you going to think? They thought that was the last time. And they just come together trembling. And they pray together. And they told us they felt that may be their last prayer. They will go to be with the Lord. But something strange happened. I don't think it was by chance. A huge storm and a heavy rain started. And it was so strong that the population everybody wanted to find a refuge rather than going and beating and burning that place. Actually, it was so strong that televisions broadcasted about that event because it was unusual. At that time, when I watched the news, for me it was an unusual thing, until our students wrote to us explaining what happened. By God's providence, He sent the rain in an amazing way. I don't think it was by chance. And now, you can imagine those students who went through such situation. You cannot stop them. You cannot stop them anymore sharing the gospel, because they have seen God at work. We need to be open and to get involved, to pray for those places, because God is still opening some windows, some doors in the places you cannot expect. God is really at work. And this happened only because of the power of the cross. It may seem foolish, but this is precisely God's wisdom. Get involved in different ways because you are part of this God's mission for the world. And you can get involved here because now God is sending the whole world to us in Oxford. If I try to check how many countries are represented in Oxford, it's going to be amazing. You may not be able to go as a missionary in Iran, but there are plenty of Iranians living in Oxford. You may not be able to go as a missionary in Saudi Arabia. There are plenty of people from Saudi Arabia living here. And when they are outside their country, they are even more open to the gospel because they are not binded by the emotions, by all the things surrounding their family. They are open to the gospel. And God is challenging us here in this place. What a wonderful opportunity for us to open our doors, to open our homes, to be generous. Don't be afraid. Love them, because the power of the cross is about love. How can we preach the love without demonstrating the love? How can we teach love without living out the love? Why not opening our homes to those students who don't have a family here? Invite them. Welcome them. Just a cup of tea. It's really something fascinating. My wife and I and our family, when we were living in Abidjan, through just opening our homes, we have been able to build such a strong relationship with students coming from other countries. Just opening our homes, asking them to come during the weekend, opening our doors. God will provide, and He will give us enough food to share. Let us open our doors, because God is sending the world to us in purpose, so that His kingdom can continue to grow. As we are reflecting on the global world, let us be the people who are demonstrating a real community of life, community in Christ. May the Lord remind us of the power of the cross. May the Lord help us to learn from what He is doing around the world, so that we can get involved with joy, with passion, with boldness, with courage, and with faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to continue to learn on your feet. Help us to be inspired by your love. Help us to open our eyes so that we can see what you are doing as you are inviting us to be part of the wonderful thing you are doing in the world. Give us courage. Give us the discernment. Give us your love. And strengthen us as we will be praying, giving, and maybe going to do your work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Get involved. We've been encouraged. Let's stand to sing this next song. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake. God's saving news to all the nations. Take.